Live from the office of Bob Brooks, it's Prudent Money. Bob will uncover the reality behind today's stories and events that impact your finances. Having answered thousands of financial questions on the air, Bob knows the issues that families face, from dealing with debt to managing investments. No agenda, no spin, just real financial information from a Christian perspective. To join the program from anywhere in the country, call us toll-free at 1-866-787-1917. Now, here's the host of Prudent Money, Bob Brooks.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to Prudent Money. On today's Prudent Money, the couple that Good Morning America dubbed America's Cheapest Family. Stephen and Ed are here with me today to talk about their best-selling book, America's Cheapest Family, Your Guide to Living Better, Spending Less, and Cashing In on Your Dreams. Had the pleasure of catching their interview on 2020 a while back, and was just amazed at some of this information and what they have to share with you and what's in this book. So I immediately got in contact with them, wanted to come on the show, and here they are today. Steve and Annette, thanks for joining in with me today on Prudent Money.
Glad to be here, Bob.
Good to be here, Bob.
And listen, congratulations on your book. You know, I find as I was flipping through there, looking at a lot of the information, to me, I describe it as creative, out-of-the-box, practical information, a great consumer resource. Lots of information I'm going to cover today, so we're going to kind of take a shotgun approach and hit a lot of different areas. This book is just packed full of great tips. First of all, I want to mention your website, www.homeeconomizer.com. What are they going to find there at the website?
Well, there's lots of stuff. We've got a whole page of reader tips. There's probably about 300 of them there. We've got information on our book. We've got a bookstore where we've selected some of the best books on personal finance that we've read. And we put them in there. It's an Amazon bookstore.
We also have a free mileage tracking sheet for your auto and a gas savings page. And we have a free shopping list for when you go to the grocery store. There are all kinds of things on that website for people that would interest them.
Well, that's the type of resource that I like and want to make sure that listeners do know about. It's homeeconomizer.com, and I'll make sure that I have a link on prudentmoney.com tonight so that for anybody who wants to go to the website and check it out, we'll be able to do that from the Prudent Money website. Well, some of the principles that you write about in the book, and this is amazing to me, have allowed you to pay off your first house in 9 years on an average income of $35,000, buy cars with cash, spend only $350 a month on groceries. And by the way, I know that y'all do have a big family. These are principles that you know work firsthand. Tell us your story. How did all this happen? How did the book happen? And get us up to date.
Well, the way it first started is it started actually when we were first married. And, you know, we both grew up in middle-class homes, but neither of us had learned anything about budgeting. And we went through a marriage prep class at our church, and the budgeting was introduced, and they used Larry Burkett's materials from Crown Financial
right.
Ministries. It was Christian Financial
Great Conference program.
Back then. And we looked at each other and said, have you ever heard of this? No. Have you ever heard of this? No. Well, let's give it a try. And so we did this budgeting thing from day one, and of course we personalized it and tweaked it and made it our own. And
My dad told me that I should work two jobs and Annette should work one job, and we should save every penny we make and buy a house in 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Well, we decided to do it differently because we thought that God's word was kind of like the bottom line for us.
Right.
And we saw that there were principles of, you know, it's vain to rise early and work late to eat the bread of painful labor. God gives to his beloved even in their sleep. So we decided I'd work one job, do a little bit of freelance work, and Annette would stay home and manage what we had. Because, you know, even the smartest businesses, they always have one person who's in charge of managing the money.
And I didn't know a thing about homemaking, and I really wanted to learn how to cook and manage that house. And I promised him I'd stretch our pennies till they begged for mercy, and I did. I started by exchanging wedding presents, and I ended up getting everything we needed for our little apartment. And, of course, we spent a lot of time with each other bonding, and that was important for a newly married couple. And of course, as a result of that, baby number one was on its way within a year.
But the point was, we did all this stuff. We kind of broke the mold. In other words, I didn't work two jobs. Annette didn't go out and work. But within 3 years, we had enough money saved for a 15% down payment on a repo, a bank mm-hmm. repo. And this was in 1985 when
right.
interest rates were 13%.
Now, granted, the house was inexpensive. Housing prices have since gone crazy over here. But still, the point is, there's always a way if you stop and think about it, and you don't just go along with the flow of society.
That's right. And you got to think differently. And that of course, going along with the flow of society has gotten so many people in such a big problem today financially. And I talked to a lot of people through the show, through the website. They're just in over their heads and they're looking at their situation. They're going, you know, this is what I got coming in and we got to live. And they just don't even know where to start. Where would you tell a person in that situation? Where do you start? Because this is a process.
Well, one of our favorite sayings, and we see this so often, is that people think that what they see on TV, what they see in magazines, is real life. You know, everybody's driving a new car, everybody's 22 and skinny. and the truth is, it's not. And what we've come to the conclusion of is, if we're going to live the magazine and TV lifestyle, you're going to have to borrow money to do it. But our philosophy is this: if you need something, are you going to run to the bank or are you going to run to God? Are you going to be creative or are you going to use credit? And I'll tell you, in America, that we have so much. And it's just crazy in my mind to not find a way to get things less expensively.
You know, there's two scenarios you kind of presented to us, Bob. The first one is the person that's in over their heads, and they've made some choices, and now they're drowning. And for that person, I would say, you know, no house, no car, no lifestyle is worth the stress
right.
for your family and your marriage. And so give it up. Do whatever you need to do to get out of it and start over. Start with a different mindset. To the person that's just starting out that maybe doesn't have gobs and gobs of debt choking them to death, I would say go slow. Eventually you will pass all your peers. We were far behind all of our peers at the very start. You know, they all would jump in for big houses, and we were sitting there tripping over each other trying to pay off our first house, and now we are far beyond any of our peers at this point for the house that we're living in and the fact that it's almost paid off and, you know, just our lifestyle. Even though we're frugal, we have everything we need.
Well, it does come down to doing it the right way. And I interviewed a guy on the show, this is a couple weeks ago, and he refers to himself as the debt kid. And he's 24 years old, over $300,000 in debt. And he's got a website and this type of thing. But he's talked about, and I've followed him through his blog, and he's talked about how he's just shed all of this lifestyle, shed everything that got him into trouble, and how freeing it is to not follow the ways of the world.
Right.
And how much better off he is today.
You know, we think a lot of people view budgeting, the B word, as this restrictive thing that just is no fun. What we've discovered, it's like any discipline. When you start off, it's tough. Think about a baby learning to walk. They take those first steps, and their whole being is concentrating on each step. Now we walk across the room without even thinking about it. It's become second nature. And that's the way the discipline of budgeting is. That's the way the discipline of managing your money, of finding creative solutions for needs that you have. It becomes second nature. And we look at it now, what started as necessity because we didn't have much money. We had $838 a month take-home pay. We've got more than that now. Now it's a game. And it's a fun game because we sit here and just laugh. Oh, man, do you believe what we got that for? You know, that was a great deal. And it's fun to see how much we can get, what kind of good quality stuff we can get for the least amount of money.
You know, there's an incredible pressure in our society to get that house right away,
right.
to live your parents' lifestyle. And, you know, I'm thinking about I Love Lucy and how, you know, they didn't get their first house till they were 10 or 15 years married. And, you know, people forget
right.
that with a house, it's not just a house payment. There's maintenance on the property. There's maintenance there's utility payments. There's maintenance for the house itself. It can eat you alive.
There's air conditioning motors that burn out last week while I was gone.
You know,
that kind of stuff happens.
You know, it's so much better to live in an apartment. People say you're throwing your money away, and I say baloney. Not if you can live below your means and sock a big nest egg away.
That's right.
Put down on a house. It's not a waste.
Absolutely.
It's not a waste of your money. And it's much less stressful on your marriage and on your family.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to Prudent Money. Steve and Annette are my special guests today, and we're talking about their book, America's Cheapest Family, Get You Right on the Money. This is a great resource. For more information, go to www.homeeconomizer.com, where you're going to find a ton of great information. If you're driving, you can't write that down, you know the drill. Go to prudentmoney.com, send me an email. I'll make sure that you get connected to the right place. This is a great resource, a lot of good information, and I know there's so many people out there listening today that need these tips, need to get their finances organized, their spending organized, under control. But you need some guidance. You need some of these great tips. And we're going to talk about them right now because I want to jump into, you know, one of the areas we're seeing a lot of inflation today, which is in food prices, really on the rise. And you get some great tips on how to save money on groceries. So let's start with one of them. I just want to go through a couple of them here. How do you effectively use coupons?
Okay, well, coupons is one of the methods for saving money, but a lot of people say, hey, I don't have time for coupons. And I'll say, you know, hey, I don't either a lot of months. Coupons are one strategy. They can save you money. You clip them when you have the time. You file them when you have the time. You match them with the sale prices. And you can usually save at least 40 to 50% off with minimal effort. But that is not our top tip for saving.
One of the keys Annette does with coupons, and she kind of rushed over because she's a pro with this. She's a black belt. What she does is she'll look at the grocery ads each week, and when she sees something that's a loss leader or on sale that she knows she has a coupon for, that's a, you know, a home run right there because she's using the coupon on something that's already on sale. She's getting it for pennies. But you have to know your prices.
Right. But I'd say the number one tip is sit and plan a menu. A lot of people don't take time
right.
to cook anymore. And I'm serious. A dinner menu that's very simple and basic could take 15 minutes a week to plan. And I'm talking about spaghetti and meatballs and tacos and macaroni and cheese and barbecue chicken. It could be very, very simple. And, you know, if you sit down, you take 15 minutes, you plan that menu, you go to the store, you get those, just the dinner, just plan a dinner menu. The time it will save and the stress it will relieve is incredible.
And the number of times to the drive-through and the
that's right.
Because it's, you know, 5:30 and mom's stressed, dad just came home, the kids are screaming, and I don't know what we're having for dinner, so we're running out. The average family, the numbers vary, of course, but the average family is spending around $200 a month eating out.
And I'll tell you, living at restaurants is not a terrific quality of life for a family.
Right.
It just isn't. There's so many fun things we can do at the dinner table when we're at home that you could never do at a restaurant, playing games and reading books and that sort of thing. So plan a dinner menu. It's much easier than you think, and it's a discipline that's really gone by the wayside.
Another strategy that we use, and we get letters on this all the time, because people just don't think about it. They think that the grocery store is a place that they should go two or three times a week. They should be on a first-name basis with the checker and the person at the door. You know, oh, Bob, you're back again. You know, it's good to see you. The point is, grocery stores are set up to take your money. And they put deals on end caps. We wrote about this in the book. I did marketing for a large graphics firm, and one of the promotions we did was we set out pasta, spaghetti, sauce, cheese, a bunch of other stuff that would just make a whole meal, and we had the most confusing coupon sheet in the world. You had to buy three items to use any one coupon. Sales went up 21%. Redemption of coupons was less than 1%. The retailer won. People impulse buy because something is made easy for them at the grocery store. So our point is, if you plan a menu and you plan a shopping list and you look out maybe 2 weeks and you make it a goal to say, I'm not going to that store except once this week, and if I run out of stuff, I'm going to be creative and use what I have in the pantry. Most families can do that. And you're going to cut down that average that the grocers expect of that 16% impulse items go into your cart.
Okay, so the first one...
I'm sorry, it was 60%
right.
impulse items.
So the first thing is plan a menu. The second thing is limit your trips to the store. The third thing is use a list, and we have a free grocery list downloadable from our website. And the fourth thing is to stock up on sale items. So when you know something is a rock-bottom price, like when a 32-ounce jar of jelly is 99 cents, don't just buy one, buy six. Because jelly is a staple in most people's houses.
Right,
and
right.
For us with teenage boys, we are really ripping through it these days.
And y'all talked about on 2020 about the buying the meat locker, and I thought that was such a great idea. I love that idea.
Actually, we're writing an article on it right now because a lot of people get kind of freaked out. Oh, this meat is expiring, you know, or this milk is expiring. The date that the FDA or the dairyman put on an item is their suggested sell-by date for the retailer. Now, I had a friend who was a butcher, and he told me in the old days, when the meat started to turn color, the butcher would take it off the display, he'd trim off the meat and put it back out, trim off the edge. If it started to turn again, he would take it and he would either cook it and sell it as cooked meat, or he would put it into the ground beef. Now, the rules have changed because of lawsuits, those wonderful lawyers.
Which is a good thing.
but, you know, the thing is, the meat that's vacuum sealed with thick wrap on it, you can buy when it's going out of code. Most retailers will drop it 25 to 50%, and you put it in your freezer immediately, or we bring it home, we cut it into steaks or whatever we do with it, and we freeze it, and you can eat it up to 6 months later.
It depends on that. Like a turkey is vacuum sealed. That'll last 2 years. Steve talked to a butcher on a Navy ship, and he said that they took turkeys out for 2 years. And then like corned beef, it's in a really heavy-duty vacuum-sealed plastic. And we like Reuben sandwiches, and so we'll stock up on corned beef.
I tell you what, Annette, we're up against a break. Everybody stick around. We'll be right back. This is Bob Brooks. You are listening to Prudent Money. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to Prudent Money. On today's Prudent Money, my special guests are Stephen and Ed, and we're talking about their book, America's Cheapest Family. Get you right on the money. One of the best resources that I have found on managing your expenses. So many great tips in this book. We are first part of the program here. We've been talking about food costs, how to manage that. Let's jump into a couple of other areas, Stephen and Ed. Let's talk about health care. This is a really big cost in America. What are some of your tips on reducing healthcare expenses?
Wash your hands.
Yeah.
You know, what do they say? Prevention. An ounce of prevention is worth
right.
a pound of cure.
Right.
We work on having a healthy lifestyle. We walk at our park when it's not 192,000 degrees outside here in Phoenix.
Yes.
But we walk a couple miles a day. We take care of ourselves. We take vitamins. But that's just one aspect of it. But prevention is important.
But the truth is you have to have medical insurance. And so if you've got a pre-existing condition, you have to find a job that provides insurance with no qualifying.
Right, right.
It's an awful quandary to be part of. It's just really, really awful. So to buy private individual health insurance is very costly. And
but you have to set the money aside. Right now for us, because we're self-employed, our insurance premium each month for health insurance is actually more than our house payment.
But it's a very, you know, remember us, we have a very small house payment, but still, it's just ridiculous. But you've got to have it, because one major medical emergency can completely destroy you financially.
There are a couple of websites that you can go to quote health insurance. This is on our list of things to do, but ehealthinsurance.com sends out your information to several companies and you get quotes back. It's one of the easiest ways to do it. We also did this with our auto insurance, insweb.com. Insweb does auto insurance, health insurance, and life insurance, and it's so easy to get quotes. So it's a good way to do it, but you got to quote it, you got to research it, and you got to read it.
And we have a link on our site, too. Yeah, you have to know your policy. You know, just for example, I was taking my daughter in to get her wisdom teeth out, and the gal who's at the front desk threw a paper down in front of us and said, okay, you know, this is the total fee. You know, you have an 80-20 policy, and so you're going to pay 20%. We're going to cover 80%. I said, wait a second. No. First of all, we have a cap of how much. We have a $1,500 cap, and your price is $1,800. We have a $50 deductible. She just looked at me, and her mouth nearly dropped off. And I said, you know what, it's just not as simple as this whole 80-20 thing. I said, so, you know, I really want you to submit to our insurance for a pre-authorization so we know exactly what it's going to cost when we go through this. Oh, okay.
In other words, you have to be the expert. You cannot trust the doctor's offices to be the expert. They're nice people. They want to help you. But nobody is going to take better care of you than yourself. And the same thing applies to medical conditions. When we go into the doctor's office, and he tells us, oh, you got XYZ disease, whatever. We need to go and we need to research it and become the expert on it.
Right. Our son got pneumonia a couple of years back. He was running too hard and fast, and Steve took him to the doctor, and the doctor's like, okay, well, we're going to give you this new antibiotic for $100. And I'm like, no, Steve, ask him for erythromycin. That's an old antibiotic, and it works just as good. And the guy's like, oh, okay, I can do that, $16.
Yeah, it makes a very, very big difference. But, you know, some of the themes that go amongst all of these different principles and what you have in the book is planning and getting an education.
Yep.
And really understanding how things work. Let's talk about the budget buster. I love this section. And, of course, kids. And we spend so much money on our kids. What are some of your tips to manage expenses on kids?
Well, kids need to have the ability to earn their own money. They feel better about themselves. They feel responsible. They're contributing to society. And so we have a whole Money Smart Kids program. It sells for $10 with $2 shipping and handling through our website. And it's like an allowance system where the kids earn points each day, and then once a week we sit down and we do payday, and we've started all our kids on that.
It's something we've used for the last 15 years with our kids. Our oldest is 24. He graduated from college with no debt, bought his cars for cash. He's the one who rebelled the most against our system, but he's doing well. Our daughter, Becky, just loves to save money and is saving for a car right now. She wants to buy a Toyota Tacoma. But the point is, if you start the kids young enough where they're earning money and the allowance isn't, it's real life, okay? Bob, when you get a paycheck, do you ever have any bills you have to pay with it?
Tons of bills.
Yeah.
The point is, we give our kids an allowance, and we
right.
don't require anything of them but to
right.
spend it on themselves.
That's
not real life. That's like getting your paycheck, and the only thing you have to do with it is go take a trip to Hawaii.
Right.
You know, it's not real. So we did is when they hit about 8 or 9 years old, when their math skills are good enough, we tell them they have to start buying their own clothes. And that turns allowance from just fun, play, to reality.
Let's talk a little bit about, like I said at the beginning of the program, kind of taking a shotgun approach because you guys got so much great information here in your book. Let's talk about buying a house. How do you buy right, especially in this particular situation we're going through today with real estate, really being in a real estate bust?
Well, right now is a great time for a first-time home buyer if they're patient and they have a large down payment. So step one, start saving your money and get a large down payment. Learn about the lending practices in your area, because you're going to find if you call one lender, you're going to get a completely different story and different fees structure from a second lender. When we refinanced, we called 4 or 5. The next thing is, remember, this is now a time when repos are up over 40% from last
right.
year. There was a statistic that bankruptcies are up. They're at about 4,000 in the state of Arizona, where last year they were, this is the first half of the year, 4,000. Last year, the total year was 6,000. So we're up about 50% on bankruptcies, too. This is a time, if you're careful in your research, you can pick up some bargains.
And many states have, like, a special program for first-time home buyers where they'll do closing costs and they'll give you a loan, which is a couple of percentage points below the going rate. So check into your city or state housing commission, too, because they've got some great deals for first-time home buyers.
If you don't have a lot of money, or let's say your income is a little lower, remember, our philosophy in the book is don't ever spend more than 40% of your net take-home. And I know that's lower than most people recommend, but it gives you the advantage of being able to pay extra on your mortgage. But 40%
right.
of your net take-home pay should go to your housing costs, and that includes utilities. So you've got to make sure you're careful with that. The banks will lend you much more and strap you. So what we recommend is, look, be creative. If you can't afford a standalone house, then buy a townhouse, a condo, buy a pre-manufactured house.
A duplex.
Look for something that you can afford, because there's nothing worse than going to bed every night worrying about whether you can make that mortgage payment.
And it may be the kind of thing that you need to move away from the city where you are. If you live in a city where housing is just ridiculous, you may need to either live on the outskirts, or you may need to move to another place.
Well, I think the message is to look at it realistically, and that's what a lot of people aren't doing today when they're going out there to look into buying a house. They're looking at it from an emotional standpoint, and boy, that'll get you in a lot of trouble.
Right.
And remember that the average person buys about between the fourth and the eighth house they buy. We looked at 20 to 40 houses before we bought. That makes you an expert on the market.
Right.
Your realtor wants to sell you. You need to buy. You need to be wise about it.
Let's wrap up our interview today and talk about what I think is the most important part of the book, because without the right attitude, none of this matters. Without the right commitment to taking the time, to getting the education, to taking some of your principles, Stephen and Atna, and applying it and doing the planning, none of this really matters. But it's the attitude about all this whole situation that really is the most important.
I agree. And I think contentment is the number one bottom line. We have so much in America. But of
right.
course, if you look at the TV commercials and you look at the magazines, they'll tell you you never have enough. But the truth is, you know, back in the days of Little House on the Prairie, they were lucky if they had two dresses, one for every day and one for Sunday. How many more of us have more than two dresses in our closets right now?
I don't.
I mean, think about it, okay? You know, what really do we need to have T-bone steak, or will chuck in a marinade suffice, you know?
Right, right.
When is enough enough?
And the real bottom line, Bob, is you buy all this stuff, and you know what? Then you got to maintain it.
Right.
And it takes up space, so you got to store it. And our stuff is not here to consume us. We're supposed to enjoy the things we have. So our number one, be content. Number two, stop looking in other people's bags. We've got to stop looking over the back fence and seeing what our neighbor has. We've
right.
got to stop looking at the car they're driving. We've got to be content and be satisfied with what our earning potential is. I don't know how many of your listeners have ever read Proverbs 30, verses 7 and 8, but it says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with the food that's my portion.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Unfortunately, so many Americans are living the portion of their neighbor or somebody on TV or whatever, and we've got to stop doing that. God is very wise and very able to provide for his beloved even in their sleep. And when we start grabbing for what we don't need or what we shouldn't have, we bring stress on our household.
Steve, Annette, thank you so much for being on. That was a great way to wrap up today's interview. HomeEconomizer.com, America's Cheapest Family, great resource. Once again, Steve and Annette, thank you so much. If y'all want more information on the book, go to PrudentMoney.com. We'll have a link up there, and you can go look and check it out for yourself. This is Bob Brooks. Keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.